They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
All right, our ears and eyes in South Beach for tonight's Dolphins-Bills matchup. Dan Fates, 13 Wham Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. I imagine, as it usually is this time of year in South Florida, that's a little bit swampy there, Dan. I'm curious, first and foremost, about how you're doing, how the weather is looking for tonight's matchup. I mean, South Florida this time of year, you usually do a pop-up thunderstorm every day. What time of day are we going to get that thunderstorm? Is it going to be around game time?
Yeah, that's what we're hearing. Who knows? There are scattered showers. Mike and I just parked before we're headed into the stadium and drove through a torrential downpour, and now there's sunshine. So, like, that's what this is in South Florida. It is what it is. I don't think it'll – I mean, I'm on the field, so there's always a chance this game could get delayed because every game that I film, there's a chance for horrendous weather. So that's what we're looking at right now.
All right, so going up against Tua and Waddle and certainly Tyreek Hill, you know, how big a concern is this, Dan, knowing you have two new safeties in terms of starting assignments this year, and now you have new assignments at the nickel and the dime backing position? How do the Bills pull this off in that regard here tonight?
Yeah, Cam Lewis, I think, is the X factor in this game, and how he plays, I think, will dictate how the Bills' defense looks. Mike McDaniel is a very smart and gifted offensive mind. If I was him, I would be looking to attack Cam Lewis without Taron Johnson, who's out with the forearm injury. I'm not overly concerned about the safety position. I think they can do a decent enough job to try and keep some of that speed in front of them. I just don't know how much man coverage you can, play against all of this speed. We know Sean McDermott is all week. They're speed. But I think that you could put Tyreek Hill in the slot, cause mismatches there with Cam Lewis, who's coming off the best game of his career. 10 tackles, he had the second most on the team. He's going to need to do it again. He's going to need to have another career day for the Bills' defense to hold strong tonight.
Dan, for as much attention as Greg Rousseau got for his performance, and deserved attention, AFC Defensive Player of the Week for his three-sack performance last week against Arizona, we didn't talk a lot about the lack of production from the center of the defensive line. Mainly Ed Oliver didn't even appear on the stat sheet. Daquan Jones had a couple of clutch plays in that week one win. But how much of a key is it going to be for that center, the defensive tackles, to really disrupt Tua's rhythm in the middle of that defensive line for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, you got to get pressure up front. And I imagine, just like how teams prepared for the Bills' offense in taking away Dalton Kincaid, I think teams were like, hey, we can't let Ed Oliver ruin games. Well, now Greg Rousseau ruined a game all by himself. So now the teams are going to start looking at, you got to double Greg Rousseau maybe a little bit more. That means Von Miller and Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver, they're the ones that are going to have to eat and kind of follow that up. Another performance from A.J. Epinesa. Like, the running defense wasn't great. You can say James Conner is a good runner, and I agree, but they need to be better against a better running attack like the Miami Dolphins have. Devon Achane is a game-time decision. I would expect him to play. My only question is how explosive will he be with that ankle injury? But nonetheless, again, going back, Mike McDaniel knows how to have a great running attack, and Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones and those guys in the middle are going to have to kind of step up tonight.
We're talking to Dan Fates. He is in Florida with Mike Catalana, 13 WHAM Buffalo Plus. Dan is on the other side of the ball. I'm trying to figure out where the game plan will be here for Joe Brady. Is he letting Josh be Josh, take your shots downfield, or do you see maybe more of a complimentary style, knowing that maybe this front seven of the Dolphins isn't as what it used to be, more running the ball here tonight and pounding it out that way? How do you go about attacking the Dolphins here tonight?
I think you let Josh be Josh. I think that's key number one. But I think getting off to a better start and not falling behind 14 points, the Bills ran the ball well. It's just when you're down 14 points early, it's tough to consistently hand the ball off. That's just the way it is. Now, who's going to step up catching passes? I think I love this everybody eats motto and all of these things. 10 different Bills players were targeted last week by Josh Allen. 9 of them caught passes, but nobody caught more than 4, and nobody had more than 51. So you're still trying to piece together what this offense is actually going to look like. So I hope it's a little bit more easy at times. Last week on Sunday, I didn't think it was super in rhythm. And then you just had Josh going in the phone booth and putting on a Superman cape and coming out and winning the game. I don't think his hand's going to affect him all that much. I think maybe he'll be a little bit more protective when he runs with the ball. But besides that, I'd like to see Dalton Kincaid get involved early and often. I know he was triple teamed and quadruple teamed at times, and that opened up things for everybody else. But we kind of need Dalton Kincaid to be that number one pass catcher that the Bills and their fans thought he would be heading into the season.
We were talking earlier in the week, Dan, about whether or not it's sustainable for Josh Allen to perform the way he performed in week
one.
Right? Everybody says it's not. Like, that's not a team's strategy going into the season. Hey, let's run our quarterback into the ground and you know, grind him to a pulp. But at the same time, when you've had the kind of success that he has seen in his 7 years in Buffalo against this specific opponent, do you let Josh be Josh again this week for another week in hopes that that gives you the best chance to win?
Well, Mike and I were just talking about it driving into the game, and Mike was saying that there used to be a time when the Dolphins just dominated the Bills. And at times it was, we just can't beat the Dolphins and all of those things. That hasn't been the case since Josh Allen arrived in Buffalo. Right now, Josh Allen is the boogeyman for the Dolphins. 11-2 in his career in his seven years in the NFL. And so there is just that underlying faith and belief that, hey, I don't know how they're going to do it. I just think Josh is going to do something that you go, oh, yeah, it's against Miami. He'll win AFC Offensive Player of the Week because he's done that five times in his 12 games against the Dolphins. Like, there is just that belief of, like, he's just going to find a way. That's where I guess I kind of see this game shaking out. I'm trying to figure out, I'm still up in the air about the pick for this game, but let Josh just kind of continue, no matter who's the defensive coordinator in Miami, what game plan they have, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, Josh just seems to rise to the occasion against Miami.
Yeah, storylines that never happen. That's the topic here. And a storyline that really never happened was who's to blame from week one, because the Bills didn't lose. But if Arizona somehow pulled that out at the end, and granted, maybe you get a PI call. The question here, Dan, is about special teams, because we would have been blaming the Bills letting up that return to DJ Dallas. Was that just kind of a one-time thing, or can the Bills just kind of do the smart thing and kick it through the end zone every time here?
Well, I think there needs to be a little bit of context to that, Gene, because that was the end zone that there wasn't a single touchback all game long. I don't think the goal was to allow a return. I think Tyler Bass hit the snot out of the ball as far as it could, but when you're going into 25-mile-per-hour winds, neither way, kicking that direction, that's where they had the two the Bills had the long return coming away, running towards the tunnel, and then Tyler Bass kicked one out of bounds heading that same way. It was just gusty wind. Like, you can sit there and be like, it's the coaching decision. I don't know what else you could have done. Tyler Bass tried to get a touchback, and the wind just swatted it away. Bad gap, integrity, all these things. They're still trying to figure out what teams are going to do with this new kickoff rule. I'm not overreacting after 1 week of, hey, they let up a run, and yeah, it looked bad because technically the Bills allowed, 10 or 11 points in the second half, but really only three defensively. So understand that. I don't think it was a coaching mishap and more of Mother Nature dunking on the Bills.
Dan, there's a player that has switched sides, and I'm wondering how much of a factor he might actually be for his new defensive coordinator in Miami. That's Jordan Poyer. I mean, in preparation for this game, I'm sure that his mind has been tapped into by Miami's defensive coordinator, and that there's probably some adjustments that the Bills are going to have to make offensively, knowing that you've got a guy that's intimately aware of what you do on offense lining up across the field.
Yeah, Josh was asked about this week, and he kind of was like, yeah, he knows some of what we do offensively from going against us for 7 years, but I think there's a few other factors that don't make it as, like, sexy as a talking point of, like, Jordan Poyer knows what the Bills are going to do. They're going to have to change everything this week. Joe Brady's a relatively new offensive coordinator, obviously coming in the middle of last year. So it wasn't like they've had the same offensive coordinator for 7 years. And also, Josh kind of said, too, it's really tough for a safety to recognize a play or a call or a check at the line and then, amongst the crowd noise, relay that to 10 other players on the field or the coaching staff to make a check. So while I think it's a cool talking point to be like, Jordan Poyer might know what the Bills are going to do. He's in the, think about all the things he knows. I don't really think that's going to be more of a factor than Josh knowing maybe, like, or than Jordan maybe knowing just like what everybody else sees. Josh is really good. He likes to maybe roll right more than he likes to roll left, things like that. But I don't think it's as big of a deal. I don't mean to poo-poo the question as it really necessarily may be.
Dan, you're down there. How much conversation, like how much coverage is the whole Tyreek Hill, you know, getting pulled out of his car? Is that still got some legs here? Is that any potential distraction? What's being said down there?
I've seen it around here over the last, 36 hours that we've been down here, but it doesn't seem like it's overly a distraction just from me seeing it from, the outside looking in. I think it's more of a distraction is the fact that, Tua was asked about, hey, you guys can't beat the Bills. And the fact that Mike McDaniel was asked this week, do the Bills own you guys? And he kind of was like, they've earned the division. You got to win the division. They have earned it for 4 straight years. Until we beat them, it's theirs. It was very – it made me think about when the Bills just couldn't beat the Patriots forever.
Yeah.
And even though Sean McDermott would come in and say, that's the past and things like that, they just continued to dominate them. And that's kind of where this rivalry – it's not really a rivalry when a team's won 11 out of the last 13 games, but it's a fun, sexy rivalry between two up-and-coming young quarterbacks that are the faces of their franchise and teams that have – high expectations in playoffs and Super Bowls and things like that. But that's to me more of the talking point of here comes the boogeyman again for Miami. They did it last year in week 18 to take the division again. And the Bills didn't really play that well, but it was Deontay Hardy. Like, that's what I'm saying. The Bills just seem to have something over the last 5 to 6 years that minus the time they played on the surface of the sun, they have found a way to win a game against the Dolphins.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, and that timeline kind of coincides with Sean McDermott, becoming the best coach in the AFC East. And I wonder how much of that is McDermott recognizing what I think a lot of us see in terms of Tua Tagovailoa's limitations, his inability to throw an accurate ball more than 20 yards downfield and keeping everything in front of you defensively. I mean, yes, they have a lot of speed, but if you can't get the ball to your guys down the field because your defense is keeping everything in front of them, I mean, it feels kind of simple, but that's kind of what McDermott has done through the course of time here, hasn't he?
Yeah, and Tua's kind of refused to throw the ball over the middle of the field. It's something like Tua is what Tua is. We were just talking about it last night, the fact of the Dolphins had to pay Tua. Like, what is your backup plan? Skylar Thompson? The Cowboys had to pay Dak. Like, what's your backup plan? Tua is a good quarterback. He's a fine quarterback, is probably a better word, in a great system. So you can win with him, but when it comes, how many times do we say the game comes down to the quarterback? And I'm going to take the quarterback that has found ways to win games more than it has been not being able to make the plays down the stretch like Tua has, specifically in games against the Bills, in weather, in cold weather games, in important games late in the year. Tua's kind of come up a little bit short while Josh has always found the way.
Dan, last one for me, and it's about what we should expect from the crowd here tonight. And for those of us that haven't been down to the new stadium, new meaning it's refurbished, I mean, like when Josh Allen is at the line tonight and he wants to audible and maybe he's down in the red zone, how big a factor, if at all, is that Dolphin crowd tonight? Do we expect, what percentage of Bills fans will be in the crowd here tonight?
Gene, that's always – everybody loves talking about that, right? Bills takeover? This is not a knock at Bills fans by any means. This stadium probably holds around 65,000 to 70,000 fans, okay? And everybody loves to say there's thousands of Bills fans at this game, and there will be, but it may be 15,000, and the other 55 will be Dolphins fans. Everybody always talks about taking over the stadium. There will be Bills fans you will see on the lower side, lower bowl of the Bills side. I remember week 18 when everybody was talking about it. It was so loud when the Bills had the football, it was tough to hear. This isn't going to be a crowd where Tua is going to have to go silent count at home. We have seen some Bills fans. It is great. This will still be 75-25 Dolphins fans here tonight. They do, the last few times we've been here, they have definitely, the buzz around this team is felt on game days, and they still have a really cool atmosphere and I would consider a pretty cool stadium.
Dan, I believe you're giving us a service by being our ears and eyes in South Beach, and hopefully we've provided you with the service as well as we've talked through the matchups of this game tonight. You said you haven't come down on which side of the ball you land here. Yeah. You don't know if you're going Miami or Buffalo, but we need you to break ties because Gene and I are split, and we need you to make a decision here on which side of the ball you're going to go with here.
All right. How about this for you? 31-30 Bills on a Tyler Bass field goal at the buzzer.
Wow. All right, we've got that. We rolled the tape on that. 31-30.
There you go.
I've got the Bills winning by a couple of Tyler Bass field goals, 20-14. I like the under in this game. And Gino, you said
I say if the Bills finally lose by double digits here. 32-22, the odds score here, Dan. I just think this is a bad spot, short week.
Sharp money is on the Dolphins. The Bills are now a 2.5-point underdog. They opened as a 1.5-point underdog, and the sharp money is also on the under. The interesting point, guys, is that I usually love the overs in week two because defenses will never be more sore and more tired than they are after week one. Their bodies kind of adjust. I remember Chris Long talking about it on his Greenlight podcast, that you're so sore and tired from week one because you haven't had that beating of a full game in quite some time. Afterwards, you kind of get used to it. But I usually like the overs in week two of games, so that's why I went with a higher score.
Mm. And even on a Thursday night primetime game with the short week of preparation.
That's the only thing Mike and I were talking about. We were wondering what the first Thursday of week two, the Thursday game on week two, what the trends are. I haven't taken a look at those yet, but Josh has always been pretty good as a small dog in his career against the spread. So that's another reason why I'll take the Bills in a very, very close, fun game.
Yeah, what was Allen's record again as an underdog? You mentioned earlier.
Oh, it was winning,
like, yeah. It was like 17-9 or something like that.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah.
He does well. Dan, stay safe down there. Have a lot of fun tonight. Look forward to your coverage at 13 Web Sports and, of course, on Buffalo Plus. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, guys. It's raining again.
Oh, here we go. We made it. We made it through the conversation, and we didn't talk any Major League Baseball with Fates. Is he still there?
No, he hung up.
Okay, good. All right.
He just hung up. Whew.
I was worried about you, Gino. I thought you were going to bring it up, even though you said you weren't going to bring it up. No, I was worried that you were going to bring it up.
Why would I? I'm a man of my word. And Fates wasn't going to bring it up because what is he going to say? Hey, we're trailing you?
Right, right. I'm just happy that we stuck to football. We got through and we didn't lose focus. We're looking squarely ahead to tonight's game.
I am going to go through all the tape of you and Catalana and Fates just making fun of me and other Mets fans. And look, if the Mets somehow have this miracle season.
Don't do this to yourself. Don't do this to yourself, man. Just don't do this to yourself. You're a friend. I don't want to see you in pain. Don't do this to yourself.
I'm listening with you in the car to the overnight guy in WFM. Why were we in the car? Were you at? No, we were coming back from Syracuse for high school football last week. And the guy should listen. Yes, this Mets team, they are World Series bound.
Oh, my God.
Wow. No, I laughed at that. But then you know what makes that a great take? I thought about it. Like, you know what? They have the makeup.
Oh, here we go. We're going to take a break, come back. We're leading you into Bill's pregame coming up here at the top of the hour. We still have time for your calls. Last call, the abbreviated sports bars. We like to call it the Heavy Lift Show. 866-4326 if you want to share your prediction for tonight. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.